Well, good morning. Welcome to the BDH Challenge Call. Hey, that pre-call stuff, I love that. I'm not sure one day that might not be more of what we need to be doing on here, just connecting each other with ministries and groups and things that are going to enhance what we're doing to be the edge. But anyway, I want to take a few minutes this morning and talk about one of my favorite subjects. I have told the story in the past about Chris surprising me under the bed in my room when I'm just having it out with God one day, only to hear this voice speak and go, "Hey, I care about you, Daddy." And it just kind of takes the wind out of my sail. And I recognize that through that little child was a voice of God. Been there, talked about that, not going to revisit it. But I am going to talk about what that began in me process-wise that I realized was probably the most important thing I would do in ministry for the rest of my life. And that is to let people know that God cares about them. And the way we let people know that is we care about them. As we care about folks, they get the message there is somebody who cares, and then we can begin to point them to God. The iron sharpening iron theme of the edge, which is as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, so one life sharpens another. We boil that message down to the fact that God wants all of us to help each other be better people. One of the great ways we do that is letting them know that they're cared about, not just by us, but also by God. We all need to know that God cares for us. And we need to hear it every now and then as well. The best way to do that, I find, or to learn how to do that, is by looking at Jesus. And I constantly go to some of the same people that Jesus interacted in Scripture, because I just think it's some of the most beautiful pictures of who Jesus was. And it wasn't in these glorious, large Sermon on the Mount settings, but it was in individual interactions that sometimes we can say, why did that get captured and put in Scripture? I believe it was put there to model things like this for us. When I first started in ministry, learned a big word. I was 20 years old. I was right out of college. I was at the National Training School, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I learned the word person-centeredness. Now, I probably had heard it before, but I really learned the context as a minister of what it meant to be person-centered. We live in a world that desperately needs to know, as individuals, that they're cared about. Well, the main way God shows us that is through others, through each other. And so I want to take just a minute and talk about that, because I believe that today, and here's the problem or the opportunity, because you are on this call this morning, this is going to happen to you. Okay. Now I want to hear a story from you later about how it did. And if it didn't, you tell me it didn't, but I'm going to wonder if you're paying attention. All right. Here's what person-centeredness looks like. Zacchaeus, the thief, hated. You know who he was? He was the IRS guy. And I got to admit, most of us probably don't get excited when the IRS guy, unless he's a personal friend, is looking for us or wants something to do with us. We all kind of cringe at that idea, right? Zacchaeus was that guy. He was a thief. By his own admission, he'd stolen from people. Jesus finds him in the crowd. He's up in the tree. You know the story. He stops. He calls him, tells him to come down. The crowd is on edge. What's going to happen here? Jesus is going to strike him dead. Jesus is going to humiliate him. Jesus knows what a lowlife this guy is. What's he going to do? And Jesus says, "Hey, Zach, I want to come to your house and hang out with you and your friends today." Jesus chooses that despised thief of a guy, hated by everybody, you know he was, to go hang out with that day. Then we see him same time, a few chapters later, he's roaming down the road. And this guy, this blind guy, is on the side of the road, Bartimaeus. "Hey, Jesus, have mercy on me." And everybody around the guy says, "Hey, be quiet." Basically, "Hey, shut up. Don't bother him." And so it says, I love it in the story. It says he began to yell louder. Jesus stops again, tells his disciples, "Go get him and bring him here." Him and his friend, by the way, it was two of them. Brings him over. The crowd again watching. What's he going to do? We were telling him to be quiet. Now he's caught. He's busted, messing with the teacher. And Jesus says, "What do you want? Want to be healed?" Jesus heals him. The annoying guy, the one everybody else tries to just ignore. The woman at the well, remember her? Immoral. Jesus meets with her alone. It's so bad in the middle of the day. Since his disciples get to lunch, nobody else in town's out there because of the time. And he begins to interact with her, and he offers her this life-giving water that she's not going to get anywhere else. The woman in the crowd with the issue of blood, remember her? Touches the hem of his garment, hopes nobody sees her. She's not even supposed to be in the crowd, certainly not supposed to be touching anybody, especially a man. Touches him. Jesus calls her out. She throws herself down. She knows she's in trouble. By law at that time, she should be taken out and killed. And Jesus addresses her with the most affectionate term he uses for a woman throughout Scripture when he says, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." Jesus continually models for us caring for people, especially those that the world tells us you're really not supposed to care about. You're in leadership. If you're on this call, you're leading at some level in your business, in your organization, in your ministry. Jesus calls us to be like him. We know that. And in this particular, in these cases, he's showing us how to do that. He always cared about individuals, y'all. That's the amazing thing about Jesus. And he just didn't care about the important individual. Now, we know this is true. So here's your challenge. Hey, y'all, I think I've shared this story before. I know you've heard it. The starfish story. I heard Jack Eckert share it at a Billy Graham crusade decades ago. He talked about when the red tide was in the panhandle there in Florida, and the guy that would walk along the beach and would grab the starfish that were watching up on the shore. And one by one, he would just toss them like a little Frisbee back out into the Gulf. And the guy came up to him and he said, "Why are you doing that? Who even cares?" And the guy picks up a starfish, tosses it out in the Gulf, and he says, "He cares. He cares." I don't know about starfish, but that's the idea. God cares about the individual. I've often heard Andy Stanley say, we're overwhelmed by the size of the need. Do for the one what you'd like to do for the many. Today, you're going to cross paths with a Zacchaeus, with a blind Bart, with a woman from the well, with the woman in the crowd, with the issue of blood. You're going to cross paths with that person. And Jesus is calling you to be the edge for them, to reach out to them, to let them know they're important, they're cared about. Hey, how are you doing? Hey, anything I can do for you today? Hey, what's going on in your story? I don't know what the words are. I don't know the situation, but I know this. Every day, those people will cross our path. It's incumbent on us as the edge, as followers of Jesus, to reach out to them and let them know they're cared for, that they're important, that they're valuable. Don't you want to be that kind of Jesus in their life? The world needs you to be that kind of person. The people of your company want that Jesus there. That's the edge. Now, go be the edge.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. Yeah. See you, Sherry.